You have your Bibles with you this morning, and I do encourage you to bring your own Bibles to church. That encouragement will be instruction a little bit later in the message, but I encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. It's a great testimony to see people carrying the Word of God with them. If you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and if we can, I would like to read 1 Peter 1 in its entirety this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them, that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, and give him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and the opportunity granted to us to dig into it today. We would, Lord, that you would reveal the treasures that lie here, that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts, that you would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear, that you would move about us by the power of the Holy Spirit. To deliver this message, Lord, hide your servant behind the cross. Speak through lips of clay. But Lord, we would today that it would be your voice that would be heard, your mind that would be understood, your vision and your purpose for our life that would be revealed. that as we close out the year of 2017, looking forward to a new year, Lord, that you would instruct and instill wisdom within our hearts. And so, Lord, we have come to this place. We have braved the cold, Lord, to meet with you. Grant us your presence today. As we pray these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A new year dawning. If you're new with us, you may not be familiar with one of the traditions that we have done for I'm not sure how long. I believe my father, who pastored here for 30 years, began this deal of coming up with a motto or a slogan for the new year. And it was designed where the slogan would rhyme with the year. I thought it was a good idea. We've continued it. We've tried to come up with good thought-provoking slogans that you can take with you. Di and I instituted the process of having those slogans printed on ballpoint pens. The idea when you're at the grocery store and you pull out a pen to write a check. Unfortunately, nobody writes checks anymore, or very few, so maybe that's not such a good idea. Maybe we should have it printed on a credit card, but that would probably be less than orthodox in our thinking. But anyway, we've come up with something every year, and I've shared this with you before, but what my dad didn't have to deal with were the teen years, 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19, and you're trying to rhyme. Not that we have to, but you know, you want to keep that alive. And so we've had some difficulty at times coming up with slogans. And I had every intention in revealing the new slogan to you this Sunday, but no, I'm not going to. I am in a sense going to reveal it to you, but you're going to have to try to find it on your own, because it's in this passage of Scripture that we just read. Last year's slogan, allow Christ to intervene in 2017, and that is still a good slogan. Christ is meek and he is gentle. He is not bombastic. He is not going to force his way into your life as a slave would surrender in that sense to an authoritative master, but rather he is gentle and meek, and he calls us and desires for us to willingly submit to his plan for us and to allow him to intervene on our behalf. So that's a good slogan. Don't put that one away. Carry it with you. I texted a dear friend of mine this morning, a gentleman that I have not been in great contact with the past several years. You may recall the name Gary Fix. Gary in Maryland. Gary was the pastor of the Alliance Church in Lambert. I am so thankful for godly men who have instructed me and taught me things throughout the past. Gary was one of those men. And they live in Idaho now on a place called Fix Ridge. It's where his family comes from. Anyway, and I was thinking about Gary in the early morning hours this morning, and I thought, well, I'm going to shoot him a text, wish him a happy new year, and check on him and see how they're doing and try to be an encouragement to him. He's filling in, he's retired now, but doing some pastoral pulpit filling. And so we had a little conversation. I told him that he was working his way into the sermon today, and he said, oh, how exciting. Is there a way that, does KGLE stream? Can I get the message there? He wanted to listen to it. Once I talk about Gary this morning, now I'm a little concerned that he's going to be listening. First met him at a Good Friday service, and I still remember his message. He preached on the two crosses, the one upon which Jesus died and the one that we are to take up and carry. That was a great message. And Di and I and Marilyn and Gary went out to the Dairy Queen, I think. That's where all good Christians go after church. And we went to the Dairy Queen and sat and visited, and I sensed right away a kindred spirit with this man, and have ever since, and have been greatly blessed to have known him. But one of the things, and how Gary works into this message, is he's a little weird. I can remember, I think one of the first times I met him, he had his Bible and he had it in a cover, much like mine, but his was some kind of cloth material. It had a big pocket on the front of it. And in that pocket were, I don't know, maybe 10 highlighter pens. I mean, like every color of highlighter pen I've ever seen, he carried in that pocket on the front of his Bible. And I always pictured him with having the old pocket protector, and he would have been that nerd in school, you know, with all those different pens in there. So he's a little bit nerdy, but that's okay. So sorry, Gary, if you're listening. But anyway, but what he did is he had a different colored highlighter for different aspects of Scripture. And he would go through his Bible when he was studying a passage of Scripture like this here in Peter. He would highlight color coordinating, and he had a system of rightly dividing the Word of God so that he could recognize things quickly when he opened up a page. If it was blue, it had to do with this, or red, it had to do with this, or whatever. And I'm not nearly as organized as my friend Gary is. There's plenty of things marked in my Bible, but not nearly as precise as his. But I want to challenge you today. Because this passage of Scripture, and the reason I read it in its entirety, is it brings out something some other pastor had taught me years ago. And you've heard me mention his name as well, Alistair Begg, a Scottish pastor. He pastors in Cleveland, and we were at the Billy Graham Training Center in North Carolina, and he was the speaker, and he taught me something that some man had taught him years ago that was of great benefit to him. It has been of great benefit to me, and I think it will be of great benefit to you as well. And the thought is this, and if you have highlighters, I'm going to send you home with the assignment that you take three different color highlighters and you separate this passage of Scripture according to three different thoughts that are coming out of it, okay? Can I give you a homework? And in doing that, I'm hoping that you're going to stumble upon, although it's not verbatim, but maybe you'll be drawn deeper into this Scripture and you'll come to an understanding of our slogan that, the Lord willing, will be revealed next week. Well, the first thing that I want you to look at is this. If you look at verses 2-4 of what Peter addresses here now to followers of Jesus Christ scattered abroad, many of these people Peter would not have known, but he knew that they shared a kindred spirit in their experience with Christ. Notice verses 2-4. To the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. The point that Peter's making in these opening verses as he speaks to you and I, if we are born again by the Spirit of God, that we have been saved. Now, I've shared this with you before. There are three tenses of salvation. And the first one is, we have been saved. And that's the point he's making here. This letter is not written to just anybody. It is written to those who have been saved. You remember Jesus speaking with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand that, because to be born again to him was to go back into his mother's womb and come out a second time. No, Jesus said, not that kind of birth, but like that birth, you must be born again, born of the Spirit of God. And I would suggest to you that everybody hearing this message today could tell me the date of your physical birth. The question, however, is, can you give me the date of your spiritual rebirth? You see, it's like a second birthday. And if you have been saved, you should be able to look back. Maybe you can't state the exact day or whatever, but you should be able to look back into the past on the day that you were saved. And the question is, what were you saved from? You see? And the answer is, you have been saved from the condemnation of sin. Christ has taken the guilt of your sin and the penalty for your sin upon himself. You have been relieved of that, and now you have peace with God because he has become the propitiation for our sin. He has become the scapegoat. He has become the sacrifice on our behalf. He has stood in place of us and taken that. So Romans 8 chapter 1 is our premium verse as we consider the fact that we have been saved. Now, you can highlight all of the have been in whatever color you want, but Peter brings it up repetitively through this first chapter. Romans 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 should bring great comfort to us as Christians, as I'm sure it did to the Philippians when Paul wrote it. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul states, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Didn't that bring great comfort to you? That on that day, God began to do a good work in you. We enter as babes in Christ. We grow and mature as he matures and grows us. The second thing I want you to highlight and look through this passage when you have time, on your own time, not right now, is this idea in verse 9. 1 Peter 1, verse 9. "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." You see, now that seems strange considering I have been saved. Now he says, "I will receive the end of my faith, the salvation of my soul." Turn to the last book in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 21. And we read verses 1 through 7 to begin. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And then if you look at verses 22 through the conclusion of chapter 21, Revelation, John writes under the inspiration, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut all day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." The issue is you have been saved from the condemnation of your sin. In the third tense, is that you are going to be saved from the very presence of sin. Don't you look forward to that day? Don't you look forward to the completion of your salvation when you stand face to face with your Savior, he being the light of it, he being the temple of it, and you worship him face to face, and there is no sin, no pain, no sorrow, nothing accompanying sin, for it will not be there. You will be saved from the very presence of sin. Turning back to 1 Peter, we pick up the third tense as we read verses 5 through 7 and other places within the chapter. Verses 5 through 7, Peter writes, "Of you and of me, if we are born again by the Spirit of God, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. You are being saved from the very power of sin. You have been saved, praise God, from the condemnation of sin. You are being saved in this hinterland, a German word for in-between land. As we wait to go to our heavenly home, as we traverse this earth, you are being saved from the very power of sin. You will be subject to temptation. You will be subject to trial. You will have hardships in this world, don't you know? But you are being saved in that process from the very power of sin. We would go back to Romans chapter 8, this high point of the gospel. In Romans 8, verses 17 and 18, we read these words, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon," Paul says, "that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Peter writes to the full extent of salvation in one chapter of Scripture. He talks about the promise of being saved. He talks about this living now in salvation. He talks about when we were saved. He puts all of it together and he writes this letter to us and he gives us instruction on how we are to live in the hinterland, how we are to live in this time of which all of us find ourselves. If you can look back to the day and you recognize the day that the Spirit of God came to dwell within you, when you received Christ by repentance and asking for forgiveness of sin, that you are born again a new creature, if you can look back on that, then you have the living hope that we're looking forward to in the resurrection of Jesus Christ when we are resurrected to be with him. But in the middle tense, in this middle setting, each and every one of us knows that the year that has passed and the year that has come are going to be the same thing in the sense that Christ will go with us through it, through the storms, and he will be faithful to us. But it doesn't distinguish the fact that there will be temptations and issues that we will have to face. You see, the world looks at a new year through rose-colored glasses. Oh, this new year is going to be wonderful and great, and everything's going to be hunky-dory, to quote Greek. But it's not going to be like that. We are going to face challenges. You are going to face challenges. Some of them are going to be mountainous challenges before us, and they are going to challenge us in our faith, in our trust, in our walk with God. I don't tell you that to bring about a sense of fear. I am simply speaking to you the truth of what the new year holds. That's why Peter gives us all of this wonderful instruction. Look at verses 13 through 17. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Gird up your mind. Think soberly. "Do it as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts when you're ignorant, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of your living," your conversation. Because it is written, God said, "I am holy, be therefore holy." "And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear," in a reverence, a righteous, right reverence of God. Look at what he says in verse 22. "Seeing that you have," past tense, "purified your souls in the obeying of the truth through the Spirit, unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." This is instruction for now. And it matters little if it's 2017 or 2018 or 1,000 years ago. This is the instruction for the Christian living today. Why? Because we live in a sin-stricken, fallen world. And Christ abides with us to go through the storms with us. Keep hold of who He is. Psalm 65 in verse 11, if you read your newsletter that the church puts out, a brief little article that I wrote in there quoting Psalm 65, 11, that God crowns the year with goodness and His paths drop fatness. I have great anticipation for this new year because I know the goodness of God will crown it. How that goodness comes, what that goodness looks like, I don't know. I don't know. But I want you to know today what the angels proclaimed to the shepherds is true today. And what God has intended to be in our lives, fulfilled in Christ Jesus, is true today. And the Lord willing, next week, we're going to pull from this passage something that I believe will help us to focus in this new year. And it will rhyme with 2018. Come again. Invite others to church. The new year is a great time for people to start something new. Being a part of the fellowship of Christ would be a wonderful thing. And if you will invite them to come. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we turn to Your Word, Lord, at times. But we should turn to Your Word, Lord, at every time. To seek You in it, to understand, Lord, Your plan and Your purpose for us. To recognize, Lord, that on that day of our salvation, when we by faith believed on Jesus Christ, confessing with our mouth that You are Lord and that You were raised from the dead, on that day, Lord, when we became born-again believers of Jesus Christ, You've changed us. And that good work that You begun on that day, Lord, You are continuing to work for Your glorification and our edification. As You instruct and teach, Lord, and give us the ability, Lord, to deny the things of this world, to hold fast and to walk according to the Spirit, as You grow and as You mature us, our longing and our desire for a heavenly home becomes stronger and stronger. For our understanding of our weakness and Your strength and Your plan for us becomes clearer and clearer. And so, Lord, we all have a desire. We all have a desire to be saved from the very presence of sin. But in this time in which we are living now, as we breathe this air and walk this earth, is that we are being saved from the power of sin. For You are granting to each one of us, Lord, that we need not succumb to the temptations of the evil one, but in every temptation You give us a way out. And so, Lord, Your desire is that we would live holy lives, completely set aside, sanctified unto You. And Lord, how we glean that, how we grow in that is through a depth of study of Your Word, to understand Your heart and Your mind towards us. And so, Lord, help us to focus upon Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us, Lord, to understand things through a biblical lens. Help us, Lord, to walk according to how You'd have us to walk. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves under Your mighty hand that You might exalt us in due time. Give us, Lord, wisdom that is not our own. Teach us things that we cannot understand on our own. Reveal Yourself to us, Lord, through Your Spirit, that we might be enlightened, that we might be quickened the more. Fill us, Lord, afresh and anew with Your Spirit as we surrender more and more to Your will. That, Lord, 2018 will begin and we will rise with it in newness of life for Your name's sake and for Your glory. Lord, I believe that Your hand is upon this church. I believe, Lord, that You have much for us to do in this new year. And I believe, Lord, that You are poised and ready for revival within the hearts of Your people. As we surrender, Lord, to You, may You be exalted in our lives, that You might be glorified, that others might see that You've sent Your Son to save. Lord, may it be so amongst Your people as we pray this in anticipation of new good things in this year. We pray in Jesus' name.